Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. We'll end our reading here. Verse 6, we're going to unite our hearts together in prayer, and we're going to ask the Lord's blessing to abide and rest upon us. So let's please unite in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for this wonderful chapter out of God's Word, which we have been reading from, concerning the servant Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray today for grace and wisdom to be given as we come to investigate its truth and seek to proclaim its message. And I pray that thou, the Spirit of God, will take of thine own precious word and wing it to the hearts and lives of both young and old today who listen in. And may there be signs following the preaching today of God's word, and precious souls been brought to faith in Christ. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Normally, you know, the congregation in Annalong, that on the second Sunday of June every year, we have what we call our Children's Day service, when the boys and girls from the Sunday school prepare their pieces to sing and their recitations of Scripture, and they take part in the service, and we have a special speaker. And then at the end of the service, after the preaching of God's Word, everyone gets their yearly prizes. Now, of course, this year, due to the closure of our churches during this COVID-19 pandemic emergency, we don't meet as normal. But I want to tell all the boys and girls who are listening in from the Sunday school that you will still be getting your prizes later in the year, and I am sure that you will have many other opportunities to share in the service, in song, and in the Scripture readings and recitations. Now, this year we had invited Miss Christina Logan, who's a full-time children's worker under our church's mission board, to speak at our Children's Day service. And I am pleased to say that she has sent a short video message to the boys and girls of the Sunday school in Annalong, which we hope to post on our church's Facebook page and on sermon audio. And I hope you enjoy listening into it. And I know up ahead we will have other opportunities to invite Christina back again in person to speak to the children. I would like to speak to the children, to you who are listening in today, and to all the parents and the families on this special Sunday school anniversary, Lord's Day. I want the children and I want the young people to know how much they're valued and how much they are loved in the local church. You all have a very special place in our hearts, and we believe a very special place in God's plan and in God's purposes for his church. Now, I know that most boys and girls, they love animals. Indeed, I know some boys and girls, they have a real fascination with animals. They love to collect model toy animals and play with them and imagine all types of different things with them, either in the jungle or on the farm, and they put them all together, take them all down, put them all back together again. And then I know some of the boys and girls listening in, you have special pet animals which you look for and care after and love very much. And I think all of that is particularly good because you remember in the book of Genesis, when God created our first parents, Adam and Eve, what did he do? He placed them in paradise, in the Garden of Eden. And that Garden of Eden was full of animals. And Adam had the responsibility of caring and looking after them and tending for them. So it's a good job that boys and girls and young people get to know the animals and love them and respect them and care for them. As we read the Bible, we discover that there are many lessons that were taught from the animal kingdom. In Psalm 32, verse 9, for example, we read, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." We're taught here we're not to be stubborn like the mule, but we are to be willingly led and guided by the Spirit of God. And I think that's where that saying comes from, as stubborn as a mule. Don't be stubborn, boys and girls. Be willing to be taught by your parents and led in the Word of God and taught through the Word of God. Then in Proverbs 6:6, we read, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." Now a sluggard is a lazy person, someone who doesn't like doing much work. And this wise man said, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." And this verse, it teaches us that just like the ant, boys and girls are to be hardworking, to contribute to the family life. And boys and girls, if you learn early in life to work hard, you'll not grow up to be lazy. Now the Lord Jesus, he also took many, many illustrations from the animal kingdom. And I love the one that he used in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6 and verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." The Savior said that if God, our heavenly Father, looks after and feed the fowls of the air, he said, will he not look after you? Will he not care for you just in the same manner? Now, there are many, countless other examples throughout the Word of God, Genesis right through to Revelation, where these wonderful illustrations are drawn from the animal kingdom. Now, in our scripture reading that I've read to you from Isaiah chapter 53, the Holy Spirit directs our attention to one more domestic farm animal. It would have been an animal that would have been so familiar in the days of the prophet Isaiah when he drew this illustration. And he uses this one animal to describe the spiritual condition of all of mankind. Every adult, every mum, dad, every granny, granda, aunt, uncle, every young person, every boy and girl is included in this comparison. I wonder, did you pick it out when we're reading down the chapter? It's verse number 6, and it just starts off with this wonderful comparison. It says, "All we like sheep." All we like sheep. There are so many lessons to be learned from this comparison, that all of us are likened unto sheep. And so, in our time around the Word of God, we're going to consider with you the lessons that we can learn from this comparison when God says that all of humanity, young and old alike, were just like sheep. And I want to consider with you in our time around the Word of God, in what way are we sheep-like? If we all are like sheep, what are the characteristics of the sheep that we can apply to our own hearts and to our own lives, spiritually speaking? Now, if you were in the church, I could show you all of the different types of sheep that I found in our grandchildren's toy box at home. So, boys and girls, I have placed some of them in view of the camera. Now, you'll need good eyesight to see them, but I want you to try and count them. Try and count the sheep that are behind me. I'll not tell you all where they are. You have to keep your eyes focused. and you have to keep listening. And I hope that your mum and dad will give you permission to use their phone, and you can send me a text later on to tell me how many sheep you found. And if you're right, I'll send a prize to you, and I'll have a little something for you during the week. So keep listening and keep counting those sheep. So the first lesson we learn from the comparison is that we're just like the sheep because we have all strayed from the shepherd. A sheep is one that has strayed, and a stray sheep is one that is lost. So the picture's already building up in our mind's eye. Because if someone has strayed, they have wandered away from where they ought to be. They have become separated. They have become lost. And they cannot find their way back to where they started off from. As a farmer's son, I grew up in a small farm. And I was used with daily contact with different types of farm animals. Some of them I liked more than others. But the ones that I remember most were the sheep. Not because, I have to say, I particularly liked them. No matter how well they were fenced into a field, they always seemed to find a small cranny, just a little place in the hedge that they could push themselves out and escape from the field that they were meant to be in and find their way into some neighbor's field. But they could always get out, and no matter how well they were fenced in, they could always get out of the field, but they never came back into the field. And once lost, they could never find their way back home. And many times as young children, we were sent out to look for these sheep and to bring them back again and to put them back into the field. Now, spiritually, this is where God finds every unsaved soul. They are lost. They have gone astray from God's fold. In Romans chapter 3, verse 12, in the New Testament, we read, for example, that they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So the Bible says all of us are found out of the way. All of us are stray sheep. As those that are born in sin, we all need to waken up to the reality of our spiritual condition. We're lost. We're strays. Here in the mountains of Mourne, we know all too well what a stray sheep is. As we journey up these mountain roads of ours, we come across these stray sheep many a time. And just like those stray sheep were away from the fold, we've wandered far from where we ought to be with God and in heading out into danger. A stray sheep is one that is in grave danger. Once that animal has wandered from the fold and its shepherd, it's defenseless and it's facing many enemies. And how many, even in these roads of ours, have faced a mortal danger and facing vehicles that are driving up and down the road and the dangers that they face. In Israel, it wasn't the cars or the trucks or the vehicles that the stray sheep had to face. It was the many wild animals that stalked the countryside by day and by night. There were wild lions. There were hungry bears. There were hunting packs of wolves. And this one stray sheep was an easy prey to its many predators. And I wish every unsaved person listening in today could see the danger that their souls are in, separated from God, wandering away from the fold of God. The Bible tells us that we all have a great enemy. The great enemy of our souls is Satan, the devil. And he goes about, the scripture tells us, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What a picture is painted to us of him in 1 Peter chapter 5. He's a lion that roars, he's a lion that stalks, and he's a lion that is after his prey. And what a hard master he is when he gets an individual. He hooks them on some sin or on some vice, and he will not let go of them. He will not just let them walk away. A battle ensues, and after death, that soul that he has got and hooked and taken further and further away is tormented in a lost sinner's hell for all of eternity. Boys and girls, these are very serious matters. Mums and dads, because either in life or in death, when a soul is found outside of Christ, they face danger and eternal destruction. A sheep that is strayed, it only goes further astray. We read in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We're in our own way. We're not in God's way. That's the great tragedy of it all. And outside of that fold, the sheep wanders on regardless in its own way. And they continue in that own way. And they go further and they go further from the fold with every step they make. And that's a picture of every unconverted soul. Just left to themselves in their own way. What do? They wander further and further away from God. And the longer you leave it, boys and girls, young people, in coming to the Lord, the harder it becomes in coming to the Lord. I want to say to all of you listening in, young and old alike, there's only one direction, that one way that the lost mass of humanity is heading in. It is not heading in God's direction. It is heading in the direction that is leading to destruction and to hell. That is the way that you're traveling, spiritually speaking, on today. From just last week, we can count 7 days. And 7 days, you're nearer a lost eternity. I want you all to look today at where you are in the way. If you're on your own way, you're astray because you're not in God's way. And you're on the way that's leading you to destruction and to eternal damnation. Secondly, I think there's another lesson from this comparison. All we like sheep is because just like that stray sheep, we have been sought by a loving shepherd. No time is wasted in the verse in introducing the one who's seeking the sheep. We read, the Lord hath laid on him. The Lord hath laid on him. This wonderful personal pronoun, it introduces us to the servant Messiah, the one who would come into the world in the fullness of time by the womb of the Virgin Mary, the one who was born in the manger at Bethlehem. And it is this sinless servant who would come and who would live a perfect life on our behalf. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. And it is this suffering servant who, as a young man at approximately 33 years of age, who would lay down his life, the Bible tells us, as a ransom for the many on the cross of Calvary. It is this servant who would rise again victorious from the grave on the third day, and who would ascend up into heaven, and who would take his position at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to intercede for us, his people. The Savior left us in no doubt whatsoever concerning who this him really is. We remember his words in John 10 and verse 11, where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, he left heaven's best and highest to seek his erring lost sheep. Robert Robertson wrote a lovely hymn, and I know we love to sing it here in the congregation. And part of it goes like this. From the highest throne of glory to the cross of deepest woe, all to ransom guilty captives, flow my praise forever flow. How far did the Lord Jesus come in seeking the lost who had strayed from the fold? The Lord Jesus Christ was not content to just watch on whilst the sheep went further and further astray, but actively and positively he undertook that role to seek those that are lost. One of the great verses in the New Testament is found in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. I think it's one great gospel summary. It says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And here we have the gospel, just in a little nutshell. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the chosen number. He is actively seeking the sheep that are lost. And to you who are listening in, he's seeking you today. And to you, this word of salvation is sent. How amazing that God has so divinely ordered and regulated our footsteps that you're listening in to the gospel being preached once again today to hear words whereby you can be saved. In God's providential dealings with all of everyone, he is giving each and every one another opportunity to hear about the Savior who came from the highest thrones in glory down to this world of deepest woe to ransom lost captive souls. The Savior himself told the parable of the lost sheep in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 1 to 7. And the story is told there of one sheep that was lost, one that has strayed from the fold. 99 were safely stored away, but there was one that had wandered and had got away. And the shepherd, in that parable, he went in search of that one stray, and he did not give up until that one lost sheep was found. There's no hint in the narrative that he thought of giving up. It's too cold. The night is dawning. The sheep will go looking for it again in the morning. The shepherd did not stop searching until the lost stray was found. And I am glad personally in my own life, and I give all praise to Almighty God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his great grace, he didn't give up on me. He kept searching, and he's not giving up on you. Perhaps for years he's been pleading in mercy for you to come unto him. And today he's still found outside of your door, and he's knocking, and he's seeking to gain admission into your heart and into to your life. Now tell me, what are you going to do with him? Do not turn away from him for another occasion. Do not refuse him again for another occasion, but instead give your heart and life to him and give your whole being to him in order that you might be safe inside his fold. Now, thirdly, we look at this comparison again and we can say we're just like sheep because we need to be saved. Sinners, just like stray sheep, need to be saved from their own sin and from their own folly. That stray sheep does not understand all of the implications of what it has done in leaving the fold, getting out through the hedge or the fence and making its own way to somewhere else. Sinners, just like the straying sheep, they need to be saved from the consequences of their sinful actions, because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Sin is consequences. And those that stray from God and sin, there are consequences, men and women. And the wages of sin is death. But what a shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only came to seek, he also came to save. And you ask me, well, how did he set about that task? Well, by undertaking in covenant with God, the Bible teaches us to bear the punishment and the penalty of those lost sheep. We look at verse 6 again. We read that the Lord, now the word there is Jehovah, the Lord laid on him, that is the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant Messiah, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. As we look at Isaiah chapter 53, we begin to understand in the context of this great chapter what it cost the Savior to bear away our sin. What did it mean for the Lord Jesus Christ when all of our sin, all of our iniquity was laid upon him, transferred and put upon him? Well, verse 5 tells us he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All our iniquities, verse 6 tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ was bruised for in verse 5. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came to save us by being a substitute for us. The substitute, we know, is someone who takes the place of another. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he took your place. And he took my place on that center cross of Calvary. And on that center cross of Calvary, God, Jehovah, he took all of our sin and all of our iniquity and he put it upon Christ. And he laid it upon the Lamb of God. And there at Calvary's cross, he bore away our sin. He's the Lamb of God who beareth away the sin of the world. And this is how personal the whole matter is. Can you say today that the Lord Jesus Christ has borne away your sin? Maybe some might think that would be far too presumptuous, proud, arrogant to even use such words. But didn't Paul use such words? In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we read, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Listen, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how personal it was to the great apostle Paul. He could say of Christ and his death on the cross of Calvary, that Christ died for me. He gave himself for me. Can you say that today? Because that's the very personal element of being saved, being part of the sheep for whom the Savior died. Have you ever stopped to think of the weight of sin that was laid on Christ? The weight of your sin and mine were laid upon him. If you were to do a calculation, and it's only a guesstimation, it's only an illustration, that if we were to sin, just one sin every minute, at the end of 70 years, we would have approximately 36,600,000 sins. And that's just at the rate of one sin per minute. And we know that we sin in thought and word and in deed by our actions every day. How staggering it is. Just the weight of one person's sin over a lifespan of we'll say 70 years, approximately 37 million sins, if we're just to use that as an illustration. Oh, what weight was laid on Christ. And now think of the weight and the guilt of all of the sins of all of his people that were laid upon him on the cross of Calvary. And every one of those sins was put to Christ's account. And he paid for them all in his suffering. Remember we read in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All of those sins, he suffered for them. And what do we get in return? Well, it's by his stripes we are healed. It's by his sufferings that we are saved. And it's by his substitutionary death that our sins are carried away and his righteousness is imputed, is given to our account. He paid it all. Men and women, boys and girls, there's nothing more for you or I to do. He paid it all. All we like sheep have gone astray. But he took all of our sins and he paid them all for us on the cross of Calvary. And by his death and by his substitutionary bloodshedding, you and I go free. In the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, when the shepherd found the stray, have you ever wondered why he didn't drive it back? Rather than driving it back, the Bible tells us he carried it back. He put it on his shoulders, those mighty strong shoulders. He took that lamb, he took that sheep, and he put it upon his shoulders, and he carried it back. And the reason why he carried it back was the sheep had so wearied itself. It had wandered astray. It had gone so far from where it was meant to be. It hadn't the strength to come back. It was so weak it had to be carried. And I'm glad there's no excuse even for the weakest sinner. Young or old, the Lord Jesus Christ, he meets the lost at the point of their need. You could never come by yourself. I could never have come by myself. It was Christ who sought us, found us, and brought us back to the fold. So there's nothing left for the sinner to do. You can't save yourself. And there's nothing that you or I can do to save ourselves. All we are asked to do is just simply by faith lean upon the one who has borne our burden and who will safely carry us home and bring us back into the eternal fold. Isaiah 53:6 is a very special verse, boys and girls, in the Bible, because in our English translation, it is the only verse that begins with the word all and ends with the word all. Do you see that? All we like sheep have gone astray. And then it ends, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of the first Adam, resting upon all of the second Adam, who was the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have started listening into the preaching today as being included in the all of the first part of the verse. Those that have gone astray. All have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. But if you come by faith to Christ and rest your all upon his atoning work, his substitutionary death for your salvation, you can finish with the latter part of the verse. By faith resting your all upon the work of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save your soul. No longer a lost sheep, but part of the fold and the family of God. Sheep, like sinners, they're still being saved by the shepherd of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he comes to you today and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, rest eternal, in his fold and with him as the shepherd for all eternity. May you do so. And if we can be of any help to you in the church, you can email us, you can text us, you can let us know, and we will be glad to help you. May God bless his word today. Amen.